Tell me about your first big game harvest.
Well, my first big game hunt was in a place called Mad River, on the Mad River in Washington, eastern Washington. And we had a club called the Cascade Archery Club, and there was, you know, we were field archers first, target archers first, field archers second maybe, then bow hunters. We'd go bow hunting over there. We'd park at the end of the road and hike way in along the deer trail, set up a camp. We even bought bundles of straw in there to put on the ground so we could sleep on it, you know, in our tents. And we had all kinds of fun. We didn't shoot many animals. We didn't expect to, but we were having lots of fun. And I can remember one time we had one recruit with us, one young fellow with us, and we'd tell stories about bears and cougars and stuff in there. And I was out one day, and I ran across some cougar tracks, and they were frozen in the ground. But so that night, I didn't do anything with the cougar tracks, but that night we got to talking about cougars and bears and saying, well, this young kid, he wanted to sleep in the middle of it, of the tent. He didn't want to be near the edge because we would tell him all his stories. He's afraid he might get attacked by him. So anyway, the next day I went to back to the same place where the cougar tracks were, dug some up, and they were, you know, still in place, you know. I brought it back to the tent and put them just outside the tent in the snow, you know, so this kid could see them. And during the night, we made rattle a lot of things, you know, just like there was something walking around out there. Mm-hmm. He got out in the morning and saw those tracks, and he was horrified. He was ready to go home. Those are the kind of tricks we played on everybody. Mm-hmm. But we'd see a few animals and try to stalk them. We weren't very good at it because mm-hmm. we weren't practiced at it yet, you know. We still had to learn, we were in a learning stage. Mm-hmm. But I remember you'd go years without getting anything, you know. You'd shoot a lot of arrows, miss a lot of deer, but the deer didn't seem to care. Nowadays they teach this bowing head, and you know, they teach all this, you gotta be real close, you gotta not have an arrow on the string, things like that, which is good for all the people we have out there now. But those days, we shot at everything. And we'd cross our fingers and heave an arrow up in the air and hope we had the idea that the good Lord was either on our side or the deer's side. We might hit, we might not. That's the way we operated in those days. Mm-hmm. We didn't do much damage, but it was sure a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. That's just about the way it was. That's the way. First hunt I went on, I shot a deer up there in the snow. I'd heard about this rattling and thing, you know. We didn't know too much about it. I found a single horn, and I'd go out there and I'd scrape the jack pine, you know, make a lot of noise, and lo and behold, a two-point heard that one time, and he come charging out of the brush, and he come just so far, and I'd rattle the thing on something and bang it on something like it was a deer. And every time I'd stop, get ready for a shot, well, he'd back off, and I couldn't see him anymore. He was on his other pile of brush. So I did that for a long time, and finally the deer got tired, and I thought, well, I have to abandon this idea. And lo and behold, I looked out on a trail here about a couple hundred yards away, and I'm sure it was the same deer had gone around and was coming down the trail and coming from the backside of where I was operating, you know. He was tired of trying to get through that brush after me. Come around, so I got behind a tree, and I ambushed him. He went by, put an arrow right through, and the arrow went clear on the other side. He pretended, I mean, it looked like I hadn't hit him at all, but he just kept on walking, and then the